Thank you for joining us this Christmas season on the Mormon Channel as we present programs to inspire, instruct, and illustrate the spirit of Christmas. This is Stories from First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 8. The following stories were given by members of the First Presidency during various churchwide broadcasts of their annual Christmas devotional. Each has a message that can enrich our lives and lift our spirit during this special season. We start with an expression of personal feelings by President Gordon B. Hinckley at the 2006 Christmas devotional, and a message about the true meaning of Christmas.
My mother died in November of 1930. The Christmas that followed was the saddest our family ever experienced. My father, still a relatively young man, felt alone and awkward. He did his best to hide his sorrow, but it was evident. But shining through the darkness of the time was the assurance and the faith in the redemption wrought by the Savior of the world. I have experienced those same circumstances in my own life, although I was much older at the time. My beloved eternal companion left me nearly 3 years ago. I've known much of loneliness since then, but again, shining through all of the darkness is the sublime figure of the Son of God who gave his life that we might live. This is the true meaning of Christmas, the reality of the atonement wrought by the Redeemer of the world.
President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, in the 2008 Christmas devotional, shared some memories of a Christmas as a youth that still bring light into his Christmas holiday.
I love this time of the year. For me, it is a time of fond memories and tender mercies. When I was very young and living in East Germany, Christmas in our family began 4 weeks before Christmas Eve, with the beginning of Advent. We made a fresh-cut wreath from a fir or a spruce and put 4 candles on top of it and placed it on our kitchen table. On the 4th Sunday before Christmas, we lit the first candle. Then, each night until Christmas, my family gathered around the table and sang Christmas songs and listened to Christmas stories. When we could afford it, we ate cookies or a special Christmas cake called Stollen and drank hot cocoa or herbal tea. Advent was a time of anticipation and hope, and it brought a special feeling into our humble home as we prepared for something holy and beautiful. Each Sunday, we lit one additional candle. By the 4th Sunday, our expectations for the coming joyous events had reached their peak. On Christmas Eve, one of our parents would take us on a walk through the city while the other parents set up our Christmas tree. We passed from house to house, enjoying the Christmas lights that were dimly shining through the windows of our neighborhood. There was little or no street lighting, but I remember very vividly how the smallest light penetrated the dark night. Often, we visited a beautiful candle-filled Lutheran church where a light flickered against the walls, creating a vast theater of light and shadow. Oh, how we loved this. When we returned home, there, like a miracle, was the Christmas tree, still smelling like the forest it came from, beautifully decorated and lit with real candles. It radiated a beautiful light that filled our hearts with joyous feelings of hope, security, and gratitude. Perhaps it is no wonder that I have always associated the Christmas season with light. I can scarcely think of Christmas today without thinking of a humble, candle-lit tree in our modest home.
Light symbolizes so many different good things. Perhaps this is why lights are so prevalent during the Christmas season. Next, we hear President James E. Faust as he relates a story about an unforgettable Christmas that took place in Canada in the 1930s. This story is from the 2004 Christmas devotional.
I wish to tell a true story that happened during the 1930s to a family in Canada. Frigid weather gripped their town, and the Card's 10-room, 2-story house stood cold, all closed off except for the bathroom, kitchen, and dining room, which were meagerly heated by the coal-burning stove in the kitchen. I now turn to Brother Lincoln Card's own words. A Christmas tree crowded the corner of the dining room. My older brothers had tied a rope from the hinge of the door leading to the front of the entry hall, then diagonally across the room to the hinge of the door leading to the kitchen. From this rope hung 10 limp, well-worn stockings, many of them filled from heel to toe with loving stitches. I was 8 years old and had saved every penny since the past February in order to buy presents for my family. My oldest brother, Brigham, had been working on a government highway project high in the Rocky Mountains of southern Alberta. He had sent all of his earnings home to my father to help the family survive the stranglehold of the financial depression. Today, however, was Christmas morning, and the laughing excitement of 8 children electrified the air as they lined up at the kitchen door awaiting Father's signal to enter the magical Christmas room. Enchantment had swallowed up the harried struggles for survival the past year. "Open the door!" This signal brought cheers of delight as the 8 eager children flew to their stockings. For a fleeting moment, I had a feeling of disappointment as the stockings appeared to look limp and lifeless as they had been on Christmas Eve. However, on closer observation, my disappointment turned to thrilling delight as I recognized some small bulges stretching the sides of the otherwise gaunt stockings, a comb, a pair of socks, a toothbrush, a pair of shoelaces, some handkerchief, a few nuts, and most of all, the wonderful hardtack candy with colored stripes and designs. A feeling of love and excitement and joy filled the room. From the corner of my eye, I noticed Father had a plain wrapped small gift. It was a small scout diary about the size that could be carried in a shirt pocket. As he fingered through the pages, his cheerful smile melted into thoughtful reflection. Tears began to dazzle his eyes, overflowing in little bursts of silver down the crease of his weary, worn cheeks. Quickly, he left the room. Soon, Father reappeared. His countenance was subdued and calm. There was a glow about him as if he had seen some heavenly vision. He walked slowly to his stocking, bowed his head for a moment, and then slowly raised it. In a composed and gentle voice, he called out, "I would like everyone's attention." This unusual request on Christmas morning brought quick silence from the 8 children and mother. All eyes were fixed on Father in the wonderment of expectation. Slowly he raised his hand, which held a little well-worn book, and spoke. The sound of his voice rang with a mellow yet driving sincerity that seemed to infuse my very being. "I have just been given the greatest Christmas gift that I have ever received." There was a short pause as he blinked away the mist that blurred his vision. And then he continued, I want to tell you all about it. This is a gift from your brother Brigham. It is a little scout diary with the initials GT printed on each day of this year. In front of the book is a note which says, "Dear Father, I had no money to buy gifts this year. This is all I have to give you." Each crossed out GT is a record of a good term which I have done for someone each day of the year. Father then stopped speaking. A hush fell over the whole family. The impact from the message of this gift left us all thoughtful, reverent, and silent. Then someone began to clap their hands. Soon everyone was clapping with the joy of having experienced such an inspirational moment. Though many years have passed since that eventful Christmas morning, the impact of its message of service and love linger on as a brilliant guiding star. The initials GT printed on the right-hand side of each page of the little scout diary stood for good turn. As the scout did his daily good turn, he would cross through those initials to indicate to himself that he had done it. Even though Brigham had done a good deed each day, no details were given of them in this little scout diary of 1933. But it is noted that he had crossed through every GT throughout the year. One or two of the entries from the diary itself were poignant. However, considering how hard he had to work for so little pay. For example, on December 20th, Brigham wrote, "Picked sugar beets all day, sub-zero. Weather all morning, mud in the afternoon." Then on Christmas Day, he wrote, "Santa was good. The children were all happy. Aaron got a wagon, Lester a suit, Ruth a pen and stockings, Rhea and Maria a doll and a bed, Lincoln a truck and gas station, Eldon a scarf, underwear and a cap, B.Y. a scarf, pen, gloves, writing paper, hanky, Mother a dressing gown, Father a key ring, tie, socks, etc. We had the Reeds to Christmas dinner, had a good time. Brother Brigham Card, now 90 years old, kindly loaned me this old scout diary he gave his father as a Christmas present so long ago. It still records, crossed out, GT, for each day of the year 1933, showing that he had done a good deed for someone else each day of the year. We are each agents of our Heavenly Father in heaven to do Christ-like deeds for all of Father's children, even as he offered to do in the grand premortal council when he said, 'Here am I, send me. Father, thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever.'"
May President Faust's story remind us of the importance of service to others and how the Savior provided the greatest service of all. In the 2008 Christmas devotional, President Henry B. Eyring shared another great example of service, this one from Depression-era Idaho.
Bishop Sellers in Rexburg, Idaho, did it one way in the years after he was called as bishop. His ward chapel was close to the highway, which passed through the small town. In those days of unemployment, many destitute people were moving from place to place, hoping to find some way to sustain themselves. They would often seek out one of the Latter-day Saint bishops in the town for help. Often, the bishops they approached would send them to the home of Bishop Sellers. There was a reason for that. There was a tradition in the Sellers family. They welcomed strangers in need. Instead of dinner being only a family meal, one or two or sometimes more strangers might be at the table. The strangers would be in ragged clothes. After they enjoyed the delicious meal prepared by Sister Sellers, the bishop would give them a coat from the supply of surplus army coats he had purchased. Once fitted in a warm coat and holding a package with another meal prepared by Sister Sellers, they would go out into the bitter winter day with warm hearts. The sights and the sounds and the feeling of the day would stay with them on their way. Because some of the coldest nights in Rexburg were in the Christmas season, and because of the family's tradition of year-long charity, the children in the Sellers' home carried a memory of parents giving gifts that Jesus would have given on the day in December when we honor him. You and your family may have built your own Christmas traditions to fit your circumstances, but they will have some things in common. They will draw hearts to the Savior. They will include acts of kindness, which in the world to come will merit the approbation of the Savior as he welcomes those he honors with the title of being his sheep. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And then he will say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
This season, may we resolve to serve others to create lasting memories and new traditions that will draw us all closer to the Savior. This has been Stories from the First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 8. We hope these stories have helped bring the true spirit of Christmas into each of your lives. You can hear more about the Mormon Channel and check other programming at radio.lds.org. Thank you for joining us, and best wishes during this Christmas season from the Mormon Channel.